L-E-T-E-N-E-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, thanks to Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black, we're headed for the surface of the moon. However, before we get there, we need a vehicle, a booster. And Bob is going to tell us about the plans of a commercial space enterprise, Firefly. Bob, a very good evening to you. What is Firefly? What's the plan?
Well, Firefly is one of those estimated more than 100 small sat rocket companies that are trying to enter the market, launch with a rocket that can launch payloads, small satellites. And they've attempted their first launch in August. It wasn't successful, but that was the first launch, so it's not a surprise. But this company wants to diversify. So they're not just simply building rockets. They made a partnership with some Israeli engineers who had helped build the Israeli Bereshit lunar lander. So they had experience in building lunar landers. And so Firefly hired them, essentially, put a partnership together, and has been developing a lunar lander. And this lander is designed to bring payloads to the lunar surface. And NASA has a program to hire private companies to build lunar landers to bring NASA instruments to the lunar surface. But the way it's designed, it's capitalism in space. NASA doesn't build anything. It only provides a payload. And the companies can build their landers to any capacity they wish so that they have additional payload space to sell to other customers, such as universities and other commercial entities that want to put payloads on the moon. So Firefly took advantage of this, signed a NASA contract, and they're building what they call their Blue Ghost lunar lander. And what they announced this week is that they have now completed their critical design review of their lunar lander, and they have approved the design as created. So they are now going to move to begin assembling and building Blue Ghost. And they're aiming to launch that spacecraft on a Falcon 9 rocket in the fall of 2023. It'll carry up to 10 payloads, including the ones NASA puts on, and therefore they can make some money on it. NASA's paying them $93 million for this mission, but they can make more money by putting additional private other payloads on their capsule and their lander. And so that's where we stand now. They are one of a plethora of commercial unmanned lunar landers that NASA has hired, all of whom are doing the same thing, building a lander that can take additional payloads, and all of them are putting additional payloads on. And we should expect to see in the next 3 years a lot of these. Many will fail, by the way, just like Bereshit failed and just like India's lander on the moon failed. We shouldn't expect all of these to succeed, but some are. And when they do, those are going to establish themselves as the go-to companies. If you want to put a payload on the moon, you've got a company who has a commercial lander that can get it to the moon.
More commercial space. Bob is reporting on a startup, ABL, raising money. ABL, where are they going, Bob?
Well, ABL is comparable to Firefly and Rocket Lab and Astra, those small sat rocket startups. It had raised $170 million in private investment capital back in March. Well, it's now announced that it's raised an additional $200 million. Now, ABL has not launched anything yet. They have a rocket they call RS-1, which they are now aiming to launch on its first flight in December of this year. They are one of seven rocket companies this year that said they were going to do their first launch this year. I've mentioned Firefly, which didn't succeed. Astra tried and didn't succeed. Virgin Orbit said it would do its first orbital flight this year, and it not only succeeded, it's done two launches so far this year. ABL is joined by Relativity, Avrom, and Blue Origin as new companies that wanted to launch for the first time this year. So ABM's hoping to do it by December. We have not heard anything from Relativity or Avrom. Blue Origin, we all know, is significantly delayed. Its New Glenn rocket won't go this year, and though they say next year, I have doubts about next year as well. But either way, there's a whole range of new rocket companies coming on the pike, John, and they'll be here very soon, and ABL is one of them.
caution, caution. This next story is the product of the richest man in the solar system, except for the other one. Sierra Space. Bob, what is Sierra Space, and do we trust it?
All right, well, Sierra Space, John, is the company. It's a breakoff, space-oriented division of Sierra Nevada, the company that used, that was building Dream Chaser. But what Sierra Nevada did is they divided the company and put all the space operations into a specific company, Sierra Space. So Sierra Space is building Dream Chaser for NASA as a cargo vessel, a mini shuttle to go up and down and bring cargo up and down to ISS. And so Sierra Space now has signed a partnership deal with Blue Origin to build a space station in orbit by the second half of this decade. It's a commercial space station. It's designed to provide a platform for private and, commercial and governmental agencies or companies to put things in space. And this partnership of Blue Origin and Sierra Space includes a consortium of other companies, such as Boeing, who will provide Starliner capsule for getting up and down, as well as a module and also operations and maintenance operations within the station. Another company, Redwire, which is involved with manufacturing in space, including 3D structures, and another company, Genesis Engineering Solutions, which is probably a dispatcher for providing tourist flights, and then Arizona State University to provide science payloads to the station. And they hope to by the end of the year. Now, this in many ways is very similar to Blue Origin's Blue Moon Lunar Lander proposal, which was their bid to get the manned lunar lander from NASA. And Blue Origin put together a partnership of big companies, Lockheed Martin and Draper, and they were going to build a lunar lander for NASA for the human flights. They didn't win that contract because in that contract they were basically putting together a proposal, PowerPoint proposal, and they weren't going to build anything until they won the contract. So they made no commitment of their own capital, and they were hoping to get the contract. This is similar to that. It sure reads that way. It's a big, grandiose plan, but are they going to build anything? And this is where it's different from Blue Moon. They are aiming for commercial customers as a large part of this station. And commercial customers will not give you much money for something you haven't built. You've got to start building something. And so even though they also want to get NASA as a customer on this station, the situation is that they're not going to get very much money from NASA in the preliminary or in the construction phase. They've got to do what SpaceX does here to get any business, and that is to start building it. And I'm hopeful, very hopeful, that Blue Origin will finally begin to change its modus operandi from not doing anything but making big promises to instead outlining what they want to do and then going ahead and do it. If they do this, this will be a really good thing, John. They call this station, by the way, Orbital Reef. And it does fit with Jeff Bezos's vision of putting manufacturing in space to protect the Earth and its environment. And so for that reason, too, I think Bezos will push hard to actually get this built independent of government money or off the bat and then sell it once it's built.
It reminds me, Bob, of the stories of the settling of the West. There were a number of towns that just emerged because they were at the right trail or there was a resource nearby, always silver, anything possible, and then disappeared over time. And so yeah. I can imagine Earth orbit being crowded with abandoned stations or half-built ideas, and someday they'll have to sort it out.
Well, I think none of the stations will be abandoned in orbit like ghost towns. The situation is very legally strong here. If you put something up in orbit, you are responsible to deorbit it responsibly, and the liabilities are very great if you don't. And I will tell you, too, that financially there'll be a lot of money to salvage this kind of material, a lot of money. So nothing will get wasted in space. You won't have ghost space stations, John. That won't happen.
All right, but you will imagine that we could have an analogy to people who settled into reservation territory way over the line of what was legal, but they got away with it. We can imagine that, Bob.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, once again, it's a Wild West environment. There's lots of possibilities. What I like about it is, though, we're no longer dependent on just government. We're now beginning to see competitive, independent proposals from many private companies of all kinds. I talked about Nanorax getting a contract, you know, teaming up with Lockheed Martin to build their station. And you, of course, have Axion building its station. And you, of course, have SpaceX building Starship, which very easily can be converted into a very, very large station once they reach orbit. So you've got lots of possibilities here, and that's the best thing of all.
Suppose they held an orbital flight and nobody showed up. Here we go, Bob. This is great. Space Adventures. What's happened?
Space Adventures is the company that sells space tourism tickets and then makes deals with whoever they can to get the tourist into space. And so they were the ones that flew Dennis Tito and the seven or eight others that went up to the ISS on a Soyuz capsule. So Space Adventures had said they were going to do a tourist flight sometime in December or so with four passengers on a Dragon capsule. They would just go into orbit for a few days. Similar to the Inspiration 4 flight that happened in September. Well, they announced this week that that flight has been canceled. And they said that it was canceled. Let me quote their spokesperson. The mission was marketed to a large number of our prospective customers, but ultimately the mix of price, timing, and experience wasn't right at that particular time, and our contract with SpaceX expired. We hope to revisit the offering in the future. In other words, they couldn't get four passengers who were willing to pay the money to go up, or they had some passengers that were physically wasn't wise to send them into space. And so they couldn't fly. And this is part of capitalism. Does it mean there isn't a demand? I don't think so, based on all the other stuff that's happening. But it does mean that this does definitely emphasize the need for additional space stations, because it's probably one of the things that hurt this flight was it wasn't going to dock anywhere. It was just going to go in orbit for a few days. And people would like to stay longer than that if they're paying all this money. And you have space station in orbit, but unfortunately ISS doesn't have enough ports. So there's a limited number of flights that can go to it. And so this just increases demand to the building of a space station, John. That's what I think.
Quickly, Bob, NASA set a date for the test launch of SLS. When?
Yeah, they finally set a date, February of 22, which was expected. It's a window of about two weeks. If they launch in the first half of that week, it will be a six-week mission to orbit the moon, unmanned, or Orion capsule. If they launch in the second week of that window, it will be a four-week mission to orbit Orion capsule around the moon. And we have now a firm date, and I think this is a pretty reliable date, John, February 22.
Do we have a date for Starship, Musk?
Well, Musk made an announcement this past week that the Starship would be ready to launch its orbital flight by next month, just a month from now. They did a static fire test of its engines this week, and it worked. So he says they're ready to go, pending regulatory approval. And that's the one big unknown. The FAA has a preliminary approval of Boca Chica as a Starship launch site, but they haven't finalized that yet. It just went through public commentary, and there's a few more dots they have to I's they have to dot and T's they have to cross before they can do that. And so we'll see. But Starship, Musk says, will be ready to launch in about a month.
Roscosmos certifies Dragon. To what end, Bob?
Well, okay, when the shuttle was flying, NASA, the U.S. and Russians had a barter deal whereby we would fly our astronauts on their Soyuz and they would fly an equal number of Russians on our space shuttle. And the reason for this is common sense. This way both sides know how the other vehicles function in case they need to use either or as a lifeboat. When the shuttle went away, we've been buying seats from the Russians because we had nothing to barter with them for. We now have Dragon, and NASA's been trying to get the Russians to agree to a new barter deal now for about a year, and the Russians have been saying, no, Dragon's not reliable, it hasn't flown enough. Well, this week, the head of Russia's space agency, Roscosmos, Dmitry Rogozin, he said at a conference that the Russians have finally approved the use of SpaceX's Dragon capsules to launch their Russian astronauts to ISS. That means that a barter deal is pending whereby they will fly Russians on Dragon, and we will fly Americans on Soyuz. It won't cost us any money, but it is a better deal for making the station redundant and safer, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring on the planet Mars when we come back, thanks to the Chinese. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.